The church is always a kind mother to her children and is always trying to help us walk in the way of the Lord. Last Sunday, the church tried to console us by giving us hope in God's mercy and his desire to save us. And we also saw that in order for us to take advantage of God's mercy, we have a corresponding obligation to use the means that God has given us to obtain his mercy. And the church called our attention to two of the most important ways of obtaining God's mercy, which are prayer and mortification. But today, the church tells us to rejoice so that we will not think that mortification is something that makes us sad or is something difficult. She tells us, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. There's nothing inherent in the idea of penance or holiness to make people that practice these things unhappy or sorrowful. We can absolutely fast and pray and mortify ourselves and yet be happy at the same time. In fact, our Lord himself warns us against the error of thinking the opposite. He said, when you fast, be not like the hypocrites, sad. On the contrary, true happiness consists in having a pure conscience, and therefore, it really can only be found in someone who practices self-denial. This is something that even the pagans understood to some extent, that actually people who try to please their senses all the time are the ones that suffer the most from any sort of physical pain, because they pay so much attention to their senses, whereas someone who habitually denies himself will actually enjoy the most the pleasures that he does allow himself to have. People become satiated with pleasure. It's kind of like an addiction, and their tolerance level goes up, and it takes more and more pleasure to reach the same level of satisfaction. In pagan times, there was a whole system of philosophy based on this idea. It was called Stoicism. A person who is steeped in sin is never happy, even if he indulges in celebration or pleasure. While he might appear to laugh or be happy, it says in Isaiah, there is no peace to the wicked, saith the Lord God. But on the other hand, someone who practices the commands of the gospel truly has happiness in his heart. He has the peace that the world cannot give, because the peace of God surpasses all understanding. So we shouldn't be discouraged at the thought of mortifying ourselves this Advent. St. Paul tells us, let your petitions be made known to God. Because it is only by prayer that we can get the help and the grace that we need to mortify ourselves and have a good Advent. And that is the only way that we can actually have the joy that St. Paul is telling us we should have today. And it is amazing how often the Church and Holy Scripture tell us about the necessity of prayer, and also tell us how powerful it is. So today we are told about prayer that it is not only a necessary means of salvation, but it is the only way that we can find any happiness even in this world. And to further encourage us to use this important means of grace, we are given a warning too. It says in Jeremiah that with desolation is all the land made desolate, because there is none that thinketh in his heart. This tells us the terrible consequences of neglecting prayer. Basically, all the problems in the world are the result of failing to think about God in our hearts and pray to him. If we don't think about God and the spiritual truths of our faith, that will result in our slowing down in our prayer life and possibly stopping it completely. And if we don't think about God, even if when we do pray, that will have a similar effect. If we can even call it prayer at all for us to say words without any thought of what we are saying. And how can we expect help from God and ask Him to listen to our prayers when we don't even think about them ourselves? And St. James tells us in his epistle, you ask and receive not because you ask amiss. Unfortunately, we all suffer from carelessness and want of thought when we pray, to some extent at least. So it is something we have to be constantly struggling against and constantly trying to remember how important it is to pray with devotion and with a true union of our souls and minds to God. As it says in Ecclesiasticus, before prayer, prepare thy soul and be not as one that tempteth the Lord thy God. For they that fear the Lord will prepare their hearts, and in his sight will sanctify their souls. We have to remember God's presence when we pray. Certainly a lack of any thought on the truths of our faith and a lack of spiritual reading and meditation, or as Jeremiah said, not thinking in the heart, will lead to the neglect of prayer and deprive us of this means of salvation. Because if we never think about eternity or our souls, never examine our consciences, or think about God's perfection and holiness and how small and unworthy we are in comparison with Him, if we never think about the hatefulness of sin and the vanity of the world and the length of eternity and so on, we will never realize how imperfect we are. Our spiritual life will suffer greatly. We will never know what our souls really need, and therefore we will never ask for the graces that we need in order to save our souls. This is the reason why there are so many wicked people in the world today. It is because they don't think about God or their souls or eternity. And they never pray. And this is, in the same way, the cause of all the misery that all the sins of wicked people bring into the world. All the suffering and unhappiness in this world is the result of sin. And sin is the result of a lack of prayer. People who don't think in their heart become oblivious to the most serious warnings of God about their sins, and they become completely careless about eternity. But on the other hand, it says in Ecclesiasticus again, he that loveth God will obtain the pardon of his sins by prayer and shall refrain himself from them. So if we pray, God will forgive us if we have a firm purpose of resolution, it says, and we must refrain ourselves from our sins. But if you look at people of this world, at pagans, these same sinners I was just talking about, you see what great care and thought they bestow on things that they do consider to be important. Think about someone who runs a business. He keeps an exact reckoning of his financial position. He keeps track of every dollar that comes into or goes out of his business. He is constantly studying new projects and going over past failures to see how he can prevent them from happening again. He constantly looks for more opportunities to make more money and expand. He tries to foresee every difficulty or setback that his business might have so that he can prevent it from happening in advance. And he does all these things with meticulous care down to the smallest detail. And yet someone like that, what concern does he have for his soul? Often none at all. But our Lord told us, what does it profit a man if he gains the world and loses his soul? And the answer is obviously nothing. We see a perfect example of this blindness as a result of a lack of prayer and meditation in the Jews at the time of Christ. Here in this gospel, the Pharisees sent messengers to Saint John the Baptist to ask him if he is the savior of the world. And these people obviously knew the prophecies, since they asked Saint John if he were the prophet, or if he were Elias, or if he were the Christ. So it wasn't really ignorance that stood in the way of these people understanding what was going on. And Saint John tells them, "There hath stood one in the midst of you, whom you know not." So they are so careless in their souls and so blind from vice that they didn't recognize our Lord. Not then, and not even when he began his public life and he worked so many public miracles and told them straight out that he was the fulfillment of all the prophecies. They still couldn't see it. And their hearts were hardened. And finally, when they put our Lord to death and he was dying on the cross, being put to death by the Pharisees, he said to his father, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." This is how profound the blindness and ignorance of the Pharisees was. But we don't have this kind of ignorance or this excuse. We have been taught everything that we need to know by the Catholic Church, and we have been told how to save our souls, and have been given all the means that we need, so that if we don't save our souls, we do know what it is that we are doing, and it will be our fault. So we have to persevere in prayer. Just as the thought of the truths of our religion makes us practice a constant watchfulness over ourselves and makes us see our miseries, so in the same way, we need to pray in order to obtain God's help against those same miseries and obtain his help to overcome temptation. But we should ask God with confidence in all our necessities, especially in the necessities of the soul, which are so much greater and are something that God is so much more willing to help us with than the things of this world. As it says in Ecclesiasticus, "For who hath called on God, and God hath despised him?" The question is rhetorical. The answer is obviously nobody. We should be very grateful that God has given us such an easy means of salvation. We should be grateful that he encourages us to approach him at his throne in heaven and ask him with love and confidence for all the graces we need, while at the same time giving us the strongest and most emphatic assurances that he will answer whatever prayer we make to him. "Ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you." Especially during this season of Advent, we have need of God's grace to mortify ourselves well, to prepare for the feast of Christmas. Saint John the Baptist tried to tell the Jews, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord." And they neglected this important command. But we are given that same command by the Church today. If we neglect it too, we will share the same fate as the Jews did at the time of Christ. And we will end up rejecting him and losing our souls. We do have many obstacles in our path, the path of holiness and prayer, but we have to have confidence in God's love and mercy and ask him to help us to persevere. And the book of Ecclesiasticus gives us one final word of advice. It says, "Son, when thou comest to the service of God, stand in justice and in fear, and prepare thy soul for temptation. Humble thy heart and endure, incline thy ear and receive the words of understanding." So it takes courage and perseverance and generosity with God in order to serve him. And this beautiful passage concludes with one more admonition. "Believe God, and he will recover thee and direct thy way, so trust in him." So, if we do these things, we will make straight the way of the Lord, and we will have true peace. We will rejoice in the Lord always, not just here on earth for a while, but but forever in heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.